Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And good day, good morning, happy Friday, maybe good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and got a lot to get to, mainly as far as trends and stats in the early Major League Baseball season. Now is about the time you can start looking at statistics and kind of getting a little bit of a reality from them. The first couple weeks, they're very skewed in that you know, you'll have teams that have won a lot of games, teams that have lost a lot of games, and everyone's just finding their way. And, you know, people are still just getting out of spring training and are, you know, still loosening up. There's still a lot of players, especially pitching, that is still dealing with extended spring training or is held out a little bit just to kind of go over and nurse some nagging injuries and keep those players' long-term health looking forward. But there's been a couple trends that have been going on, mainly the amount of pitchers that have had Tommy John surgery already in a couple weeks that has kind of got members of Major League Baseball, both of the Players Association, i.e. the players, and of course management of Major League Baseball teams. Some players and folks inside the game are pointing to the pitch clock and the accelerated pace and how it is putting more pressure on pitchers, especially younger pitchers without as much big league experience, and kind of having the pressure to hurry up their deliveries with a 30-second pitch count, or, you know, bases are awarded to the other team and runs stack up and, you know, things kind of go bad. But, you know, with that being said, there's it's been a trend for a number of years, the amount of pitchers going under the Tommy John surgery. Now, for those maybe not sure what Tommy John surgery is, he's not the doctor. He was a player who was among the first players to get this procedure, and I think it was back in the 70s. He was he pitched for the Dodgers and Yankees, which is kind of cool to be able to play for those two pretty much high-class, long-term organizations. But well, Tommy John started with the Dodgers, ended up with the Yankees, and that was after his surgery. It was named after him. He was the first player to get this surgery, and you know, it's something that's become so common. Like, if I was a surgeon in college right now, I would look into this one. knee injuries are pretty common with athletes, and that's if you're, you know, going into the sports medicine field, which seems to be quite lucrative from a doctor's standpoint. There's a lot of players getting injured in all sports all the time. So Major League Baseball, the Tommy John surgery turned out to be one of the most innovative things probably in sports, at least in, you know, sports recovery and sports medicine. Basically, the UCL ligaments in the elbow of the pitching arm, what's the ulnar collateral ligament, I believe, is the technical name. UCL seems to roll off the tongue a little better. Basically, it's a ligament in the elbow that becomes inflamed and is from that, it causes the rest of the arm to have a lot of problems. Basically, pitchers can't pitch without pain. They can't throw their normal high-level stuff. Now, how do we get here from, well, when Tommy John played and nobody needed this surgery, to now where it seems like it's almost a rite of passage that by the time a pitcher is 25 or so, they've probably had maybe even two Tommy John surgeries. Sometimes it happens even as early as high school and college nowadays, and you know, that was something in my little league days, which are very limited, and as baseball was a sport I didn't really play much organized. Definitely played more basketball organized, and You know, as much as I love football and beg my dad to sign that permission slip, I thank him every day for not signing the yes, you can play football. You know, my concussions in my lifetime are down to like probably less than two or three, probably off some bicycle accidents and playing baseball without a helmet one time, which is a whole nother story. As I'm just telling stories today, but Tommy John, surgery is pretty prevalent. I got a text last week from one of the commissioner in one of my leagues, or pretty much all of my leagues, the guy named Sam, and he goes, "That's a tough break, Jay." And I go, "I still was checking out the A's story of last week when, you know, Estuary Ruiz was sent down to the minor leagues, who was a leading base stealer in the majors last year, and I had not even seen the news about another player who, ironically, I always confuse with Estuary Ruiz, named Yuri Perez. Just the fact both their names, you know, are Latin names, short four-letter names, and also, well, Perez is five, but also the fact that they have E names for Yuri and Estuary, which are kind of close, and one a little, both not so common in my, you know, speech before. But he was a pitcher of the Miami Marlins, came up last year and did very well. They were even cautious with him last year and sent him back down to the minor leagues. And even, you know, later in the season, the Marlins sent down Yuri Perez to, you know, kind of take care of him for the future. And that was a time when the Marlins are kind of still on the outside of maybe, well, they did get into the playoffs last year. So it turned out they didn't need him for the run. And, you know, who knows, being that young and pitching under pressure in the playoffs, that might have done some damage to the arm. But, you know, nonetheless, by resting him and sending him down to the minors and actually having him be inactive here at the beginning of the season and doing some side work, warm-ups, his arm inflamed again and shut down for the season. Bad break for my fantasy team because he's definitely a good young player, was my number one minor league draft pick last year and actually was up for much of the season. My team had a lot of pitching injuries and I had to bring up some players a little before I wanted to just because, you know, he's now in his second year of eligibility in my fantasy team and I kind of got to wonder what I'm going to do with him. Is this someone I'm going to keep for up to a year and a half and take up an active roster spot, or am I going to let him go into the free agent pool and release him and take the probable chance another manager might be willing to put him on a roster spot and hold on to him. Since I've already activated him in our league, once a player becomes active off our minor league roster, they're not eligible to be sent back down. And of course, is you know, one advantage in real baseball over our pretty complicated dynasty league here. So a couple days after that, Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians, no relation to Justin, I think. Anyway, he was having a pretty much a smoke show of a season already. First couple games, just wins and strikeouts, and next thing you know, he's going down for the season. And a couple more pitchers in just since last week have ended up being shut down for the year for Tommy John surgery. Take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, quite frankly, I listen to a lot of Dodger games. I respect the organization quite highly because they, number one, they're willing to go out and spend money. Number two, they have a great farm system and they know how to draft players and their scouts generally know what they're doing as far as acquiring talent. There's not a lot of long shot prospects that come up out of the Dodger organization like maybe some other teams will do or have. You know, someone who's maybe a good athlete, maybe played another sport even, and then someone goes, well, maybe give baseball a try. Got some good coaching, and next thing you know, they're, you know, starting to move up. Kenley Jansen, former Dodger and current Red Sox, is a great example of that. He was a catcher in his minor league and early career, and then someone goes, well, you got a really strong arm. Let's try you out as a closer. And he became a... He's had a pretty great career in closing and is up there in the, you know, top 10 all-time for closers. Starting to kind of run into the downside of his career and playing on the Red Sox, who finished last place in the American League East last year, although with a winning record. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if he gets traded to a contender or if, you know, Boston can step it up. But you know, nonetheless, came up through the organization, the Dodgers I'm talking about, and had a pretty good career. Now, for some reason, the Dodgers have a number of pitchers that have gone under this Tommy John. Namely, Tommy John was one of them, but that was, you know, some 30-plus, maybe 40-plus years ago now when that first surgery for Tommy John happened. But currently, the Dodgers are waiting on Walker Buehler to come back. He was a young rookie, ascended to the top of their rotation, even started as the number one pitcher over Clayton Kershaw, who had kind of been their golden boy for many playoffs. And Buehler, you know, he got the number one start. Anyway, he's just about to come back, and he was someone I had on my teams, but, you know, I'm like, that's about a year and a half to, you know, almost 2 years of holding on to a player, you know, who you got to keep a roster spot open for. And at some point, due to other injuries, namely, it's tough to keep a player on an injured spot and hold them for the full year. Try that a couple times, and generally you need that roster spot and need to get that player. So Walker Buehler, an example, great young pitcher, a lot of potential, Tommy John surgery, and he's close to his return. And Tony Gonsolin, he was starting to pay big dividends for the Dodgers, had a good record running, and also a guy who I had on my team late last year, Tommy John surgery. He's out for the season. Then Dustin May, someone who I had acquired in a trade with another owner in the league, and he was actually part of the reason I liked the trade. I thought, you know, Dodgers always have good pitching, although sometimes with tender arms or overused arms for some reason. Even though if you listen to the games and watch the games, it doesn't seem like they, you know, really overabuse their pitchers. So, again, a lot of people are pointing the dirty end of the stick to the pitch clock and the accelerated pace of the game for kind of what's adding to all these trends. But Dustin May is another guy still undergoing rehab and not quite close to getting back. So that's just three players on a team that's, you know, known for, you know, having a really good, you know, a good organization top to bottom. Very professional, take care of their players, pay them well, and, you know, are shooting for world championships, even though 11 divisions and one world championship, which has an asterisk because it was the truncated season of 60 games. So even as a Dodger fan, that's, you know, kind of shallow, not quite the 162 games that all other seasons are based off. So that's kind of one trend that's been going on early in Major League Baseball that we, quite frankly, as fans would like to see change. And of course, you know, fantasy baseball teams notwithstanding, you know, just for the health of the players and the trend of the game, not something that's, you know, really fun to see happening. But a couple weeks into the season, let's take a quick look at the standings in Major League Baseball, because now's about the time you can kind of start to, you know, see, you know, what teams are off to a good start, who's cold, and, you know, could start setting up for, you know, future moves coming up here soon. There has not been a big trade yet in Major League Baseball. Has not been a manager firing yet, which sometimes that could happen. And might be looking at Chicago, the South Side, right now for changes to happen there. Colorado not doing so well either. But that's yet to happen. And we have had a no-hitter, as Houston got one last week. Currently in the National League, the Dodgers 10-5 heading into games today. They're back home after a bit of a road trip, which turned out kind of average for them. They're 6-2 at home and 4-3 on the road, still not too bad. San Diego's playing better than expected. They're at 7-8. They've played a lot of games with the Giants. It's a weird schedule this year in that a lot of division rivals play a lot early and won't see each other again until maybe another back-to-back in September, as the schedule this year is seemingly being a little more open and liberal to playing all teams and not just focusing on a lot within the division. So the Padres are 7-8, three games already behind the Dodgers. Arizona is also three games back. Remember, they were last year's National League champions. They came in, knocked the Dodgers out in three games, and continued on, and eventually lost to the Texas Rangers. San Francisco Giants are off to a bit of a cold start. Their bats especially have not been hitting very well. They are doing okay pitching-wise, though. You know, the Giants are one of those teams that win a lot of games, 2-1, 3-2, but they'll lose a few, you know, like 7-2 and stuff like that. They're usually way outscored, even though they, you know, end up winning more games often than losing. And Colorado currently off to a bad start at 3-10. On to the National League East so far. Pretty competitive. No one's run out and taken a big lead yet. You have Atlanta and Philadelphia at the top, as they have been for the last few years. Atlanta currently over the Phillies by one game. Now, the New York Mets, they were doing good last year until about All-Star break, and then they just tailspun right into the, you know, right into making moves, coaching changes, and, you know, trading some players. They still have a super high payroll, and right now are 5-7, 2.5 games off the pace. Washington Nationals, a lot of good young talent, and they're 5-7, also 2.5 back. The Miami Marlins are, well, one of the worst record in the National League. And part of that has to do with half their pitching staff still on the bench. Yuri Perez, as we mentioned, Tommy John surgery, he is out. Offensively, they're doing okay, although their leading hitter from last year is only hitting .250 so far. Jorge Soler is now a member of the Giants, so that's a little bit of power removed from their lineup. And you know, another pitcher still on the injured list yet to return. So Miami, although they did get a win against the Yankees the other day to sort of salvage that series a little bit. The National League Central, Milwaukee is ahead of the Pirates based off percentage. They're 8-3. The Pirates are 9-4. Technically, they are tied. Chicago Cubs are 1.5 games off the pace. The Reds are 2.5 games off the pace. And St. Louis in last place is still respectable at 6-7 so far, only 3 games back. On to the American League. It was a bad year last year, a disappointing year last year for the Yankees, but a good start at the moment. They are 10-3, still only a game and a half ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. And the Orioles were bad for a number of years, but they made good with a lot of their draft picks, and they just called up the number one prospect in Major League Baseball, Jackson Holliday, the other night, and their series against the Boston Red Sox, and I think Baltimore swept that series, so they're a game and a half behind the Yankees. Boston is 3 games back and playing better so far than they started last year. Maybe they'll be turning things around. Tampa Bay playing a little less stellar than last year's beginning. Last year, Tampa Bay started by winning like 17 out of 25 and was off to a pretty good start, which kind of kept them up there for much of the season. And Toronto is 6-7. I think the American League East, easily the best division in Major League Baseball. The American League Central is kind of out kicking the coverage so far, although there's a team at the bottom that's already 7 games off the pace. That's the Chicago White Sox at 2-10. And that's partly why the Kansas City Royals record looks so good. They played a lot of games with the White Sox, swept them in a series, and the Royals are 9-4. They play the Yankees this weekend. We'll see if they stay hot or if they fall back down to earth. Now, it's been said you can't win the division in April, but you can certainly lose at the division, and that's kind of what the White Sox look like they're doing at 2-10. The Cleveland Guardians, who, as I mentioned, lost Shane Bieber to Tommy John surgery, are ahead of the Royals by a half game at 9-3. Royals are 9-4. Detroit's been playing pretty well, and had a nice comeback the other day against Pittsburgh. They went into the ninth inning down 3-1 and roughed up the closer for the Pirates and ended up winning that game 5-3. Detroit is 7-4, only a game and a half behind Cleveland. Minnesota, they're only 4 games back, but they're 4-6. And the White Sox, I wouldn't be surprised to see some changes coming soon, at least in the dugout for the White Sox. Maybe a big trade. Who knows? Something to shake up that team. They've been kind of underperforming for a little while. The defending champion Texas Rangers leading the American League West by a half game over, surprisingly, the Angels, who lost Shohei Ohtani in free agency. But Mike Trout has been playing like Mike Trout can. He's one of the best players in baseball. It's just he hasn't seen the playoffs because the Angels are not one of the best teams. And it's too bad him and Ohtani didn't get the team up as teammates with the Angels in the playoffs at least once. If you listen to last week's show, you know there's a whole bunch of distractions going on in the East Side City by the Bay, that being the Oakland Athletics. They're only two games behind the Rangers and actually beat Texas twice in a series this past week. Oakland is 5-8. I believe they're going to play better on the road when there's actual fans at the game compared to maybe at home where it seems, you know, very empty and dead. Seattle, they are 5-8, and surprisingly, the Houston Astros, they also ran into the Red Hot Royals, are 3.5 games back of the Rangers at 4-10. So it's Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm Jay Cruz, breaking down some early trends in Major League Baseball. We're also going to talk NBA in a couple minutes later on in the show. And we'll be here till 12 noon Pacific time. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
We're back, Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz, your host, and you can always go on the podcast on-demand link here at HealthyLife.net, listen to past shows, or at least for this month. I thought ahead and came up with topics for the shows for the week, so you can kind of look ahead and see what's coming up. Of course, the NFL has its draft in about 2 weeks, so 2 weeks from now we will at least go over round number one. I think that's the only one on Thursday when that starts. And then, of course, the draft goes through the rest of the week. Usually rounds number 2 and 3 happen, and then 4, 5, and 6, 7 over the weekend. I think Saturday, usually the last day. And it's certainly not as exciting as it is the first couple rounds. Right now, you know, the Bears are kind of on the clock, and a lot of people are wondering why they haven't started negotiating with Caleb Williams out of USC. Maybe they're still waiting to get a trade. There's a lot of talented quarterbacks in the upcoming NFL draft, so there could be a lot of trades going on. Expect it to be entertaining and maybe a little wild in day number one. The Bears are on the clock, followed by Washington, then New England, and already a lot of speculation on those teams maybe trading away some draft picks. So anyway, early trends in Major League Baseball, at least for batting average, Will Smith of the Dodgers, he's currently hitting over 400, 412, heading into this weekend, leading the majors in batting. Currently, there are 100 members of Major League Baseball hitting over 250, and so far some fairly high averages, which will come down to earth. eventually. But you got Will Smith currently at 412. A couple other guys who are having good starts for their team. Very young player, the New York Yankees, Anthony Volpe, or Volpe. He's only 22 years old. He had an okay season last year, good defense, very slightly above average at the plate, and maybe below average, actually, and the Yankees, of course, you know, keeping with him, mainly because of his potential. This year, off to a good start, currently hitting 372, two home runs, six RBIs. He's stolen three bases, and the all-important kind of magic stat, if you are a fan of the Moneyball statistic, the old Billy Bean regime in Oakland kind of came up with one of the stats that was most important to look at for an offensive player's productivity to scoring runs for a team, and that is the slugging percentage plus the on-base percentage. Now, that's a little different from batting average, which, for the most part, that was kind of always the, you know, telltale measurement for many players, besides the power numbers of home runs and a little bit less with RBIs. Stolen bases kind of help, but batting average and, you know, a little bit of the power numbers kind of did that. Now, slugging percentage, you know, how you figure that is the amount of total bases off of your hits accumulated into at-bats. And currently, for the number of players, is actually over 1,000. Anthony Volpe with a on-base plus slugging percentage at 1,041. So that's some lofty numbers there. Jose Altuve, last year he started off injured. He is hitting 370 so far for the Astros, and he has an on-base plus slugging percentage at 1.100, so 1,100 for him. He's hitting 370, three homers, three RBIs. The Astros only four wins. Mookie Betts right now would probably get MVP. He's got an on-base plus slugging percentage of 1,234. And if 1,000 is kind of perfect, he's been raking it in addition to playing a new position for the Dodgers at shortstop, which, you know, who doesn't want to play shortstop? If you got the talent and the skill to do it, you get all the action generally at shortstop. And it's a fun position to play. He's hitting 364, five home runs, 11 RBIs, two stolen bases, and that 1,234 on-base plus slugging percentage so far. A guy who I'm really happy that my two catchers are in the top seven for batting in addition to Jose Altuve. So I got three players on one team in the top seven, which is pretty cool. And two of my catchers, William Contreras, is hitting 364 and off to a good start with Milwaukee. Kind of an under the radar player, also currently with an on base plus slugging percentage at 1,000.022, hitting 364, two homers, 11 RBIs. He's a catcher. Don't expect a lot of steals going on there. Juan Soto in New York is off to hitting 360 so far. There's a guy from Milwaukee that I almost took in one of my drafts, and kind of wish I did, because with Estuary Ruiz being in sort of limbo right now, basically playing in Las Vegas before the rest of the A's are with the AAA team, Bryce Turang, young player, 24 years old, middle infielder, second baseman with the Milwaukee Brewers. The on-base plus slugging is a very high and respectable 907, a 342 batting average, but the thing that stood out on his stat sheet were stolen bases. He's got seven already. Should have taken him and not speculated on that. One guy did pull the trigger on, and in a way I thought maybe this is early. Maybe he's still too long in the tooth. Justin Turner with a new team. He's hitting 342. Just Toronto is not doing that great. But, you know, he's a guy in his late 30s. He's going to always have a high batting average and a little bit of power. Michael Harris of the Braves, he started very cold last year. He's hitting 341. Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers hitting 333. Shohei Ohtani also hitting 333. Now, an update on Shohei Ohtani. We did go into his, you know, the gambling allegations and specter that's been hanging around him. Apparently, FBI and Major League Baseball have cleared him of gambling, and it was all his interpreter. And now it's just kind of a weird story, like how did that much money end up disappearing from his account without him noticing? But either way, that's the latest on that. So Shohei Ohtani, keep playing ball. And I'm sure the Dodgers are very happy that their $700 million investment is not going to get suspended. The Kansas City Royals have been off to a good start. One of the reasons their catcher is hitting .333, that's Salvador Perez, who career-wise is a .267 hitter. He's hitting .333 early, and his on-base plus slugging is a little higher than his average. He's currently at .841. His average for career is at .760. You know, and going through the, you know, going through the players so far, we're at the top 30. All these guys are hitting over .325 so far in this season. One good player to watch, a good young player with a lot of speed. And personally, I like seeing fast players basically making defensive plays and running the bases. And Eli De La Cruz is a infielder for the Reds, plays shortstop and third base, hitting .318, six stolen bases, three home runs already, and an on-base plus slugging percentage of 1,000.34. Mike Trout's also off to a good season so far with batting average, and he's tied for the lead in Major League Baseball for home runs with six, which is one ahead of Mookie Betts, and tied with Boston Red Sox outfielder, whose name, Tyler O'Neill, is the guy. He's also got an on-base plus slugging of 1229. So, you know, these lofty numbers will eventually, you know, fall down to earth. But Mike Trout currently in second place with home runs. Mookie Betts in third with five, tied with a couple other people, including Kristen Yelich. Dodgers also have Teoscar Hernandez, kind of a quiet signing for them in the offseason. Right fielder with four home runs. Oakland A's catcher Shea Langeliers appears tied with number six on the home run leader list currently with four. The interesting thing for Shea Langeliers, he had three of those in one game just the other day. Fernando Tatis is off to four home runs. Of course, he's battled some injuries over the last couple seasons. And another guy on my team who I just found out I've been mispronouncing his name for all this time. I was calling him Isaac Paredes. He's a mainly third baseman, all-round infielder for the Tampa Bay Rays. But apparently his name is pronounced Isaac Paredes, and not Isaac Paredes. He's off to a pretty good start home run-wise with four. Jose Altuve up in there with three, and that's as many as Shohei Ohtani has so far as well. So home runs are, you know, starting to add up, but not too many because it was still pretty early in the season. Stolen bases, as I mentioned, Bryce Tarang of the Milwaukee Brewers with seven is the major league leader so far. Someone I wish I would have gone ahead and made a move for. One guy I did keep as a keeper that I acquired in a trade last year, Lane Thomas, has six stolen bases. However, he's only hitting .191. That's a pretty disappointing start for him so far, and for me for keeping him. But I'm sure he's going to turn things around. Jazz Chisholm of the Marlins, another guy that I have and have had on teams in the past, also a guy with a history of injuries, three home runs so far, which is one more home run than victories for his Miami Marlins. I'm Jay Cruz. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue with some of the trends so far in the baseball season and take a look at the NBA playoffs and take a look at how my season's wrapped up in fantasy basketball on Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net Radio.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. It's Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz. We do this show each Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, and replays Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, and of course can find it on demand on the podcast on demand link here at HealthyLife.net Radio. As I mentioned, the National Basketball Association regular season is just about to wrap up, and for fantasy basketball, it's wrapping up even sooner. One of my leagues did wrap up last week as the final game of that league on final week already happened. My team, the 11-11s, during the regular season, we finished in sixth place, ended up finishing in third overall in the playoffs. I thought it was one of my better teams that I've had in history. I mean, I've got De'Aaron Fox, James Harden, Mikal Bridges, and Kevin Durant, in addition to Anthony Edwards. Those were pretty much guys who carried me throughout the season. You know, I made some good additions, I thought, when players went on the injured list, but like a lot of sports, a lot of injuries and dealing with hot and cold streaks, a couple things that did kind of affect me. There was the Draymond Green suspension, and I got Draymond on both my teams, so that didn't help, but overall didn't hurt so bad either. So that team, the 11-11s, they finished in third place. My other team, the Dribbling Druids, were kind of in the Dynasty League, as I've been talking about the Baseball Dynasty League. There's playing two basketball and two baseball. One is a Dynasty League where we draft our players via salary cap or an auction, and the other one is a keeper league where we keep a small amount of players year to year, and that is that we pick those players by the snake draft. So one team, the keeper league, where we keep less players, that's what I was just going over, and third place, even though during the season we finished sixth, so we're able to kind of turn it on a little bit in the playoffs, luckily. My other team, the Dribbling Druids, currently in the consolation playoffs. We got beat last week and are in the basically the bronze medal game for third place in this league. The highest I can finish would be third place in both leagues, which is pretty respectable. Now, this was the first year that we've had this Dynasty League team, so to finish third in the regular season and no worse than fourth, which it appears that is where it's heading, unless my team has a miraculous comeback over the weekend, which could happen. But either way, that's pretty respectable, knowing that the team finished in third place for the season and will wrap up in probably fourth place in our initial season for the basketball league. 14 teams in this league, and you know, feel good that my team's regular season performance and playoff performance are at least pretty equal. Not exactly sure why the team didn't continue on, but that does have to do with injuries generally. And another thing it has to do with, it's pretty funny, in fantasy sports, especially in dynasty leagues, there's a tendency to avoid drafting, you know, older players, you know, veterans that you're wondering, well, how long would I really be able to keep LeBron James? Or how long will I really be able to keep Tom Brady? And the answer is, it really doesn't matter. If they retire, you just replace them. You know, you get that money back to your salary cap. In this case, it'd be LeBron James, who I kind of got for somewhere in the $30 range, which is kind of a bargain. The only problem with LeBron is that he's been on game time decision almost every day of the year and has missed a handful of games, but less this year than he has in years past. And, you know, at his age, nearing 40, or is he 40? It's got to be close. I mean, Brady played into his 40s. I tell you what, I've won more championships when I've had, you know, Tom Brady as my quarterback, even though I draft him late because he's still available, because I think people are like, how much longer can he play? Well, all he needs to really do is play this season, and if he doesn't play next season, you just replace him with another quarterback or with LeBron James. So, you know, when it gets down to these leagues, sometimes you want to have a lot of younger players to stack up on the roster because you can keep them longer and cheaper and they have a future ahead of them. But if you can get one of the best players in the game who's proven to be one of the best players in the game, even at an old age, go ahead and keep him. I think LeBron's probably got maybe one or two more years, maybe, still going. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with him in the off season. But currently, right now, I plan on keeping LeBron James until he hangs up them sneakers. Because, you know, bottom line, he's still going to help his team win as long as he's healthy, which is just a question mark which comes up with older players because of the wear and tear after all the season. So, nonetheless, a pretty successful fantasy basketball season for me. Barring a miracle, I'm going to finish in fourth place. Finished in third place during the regular season. So, either way, third place in one league and fourth place in another. Pretty respectable. Much better than my first season in the Dynasty Baseball League with more injuries at the beginning of the season. Now, Maurice Wiggs in that particular league, well, last week we were down. It was the strangest week because it started, you know, with the Dodgers and Padres playing in Seoul, South Korea. And then that was weird because it was opening day, but it was happening in Asia. And then before the second game of the season, which was Yoshinobu Yamamoto's debut, in which he got shellacked, that's when the Shohei Ohtani scandal broke. So game two, then they're in Asia, and then it's like the season's already, you know, got this dark cloud going on over it. So they come back, they get over jet lag, the rest of Major League Baseball starts, and they started late in the midweek. How's that for vagueness? Thursday, that is your late midweek day of record. Right before the weekend kicks off on Friday, which is still technically the week. But we like to call it the weekend because, you know, that's what we do. Nonetheless, that started on Thursdays and then went all the way through the following week. So it was like a three-week week to find out if you get that first win, which is, it doesn't seem like it's, you can't win or lose the season on the opening weekend, of course. However, it's just so much better to get a one or two wins before that first loss, in especially in the Dynasty League, because everything that happens goes to one team total and one team win or loss for the week. Well, in the Keeper League, there's different statistics that will give you various wins and losses. You could win 8 out of 10 categories. You go 8-2. You could win, or you could split with it, and you and your opponent will both go 4-4, you know, depending on, did you get more home runs this time, RBI, stolen bases. They each count as one game on, you know, in one particular league. In the Dynasty League, everything will add to the player's cumulative total, you know, throughout the week, and everything at the end of the week kind of adds up as far as how many points your team has scored. So, yeah, home run, it's worth 4 points. A double's worth 2. A strikeout is a half point taken away. And there's a lot of different categories for pitching as well, for strikeouts, for walks, earned runs, non-earned runs, and stuff like that. So it's kind of a cumulative total, and it's surprising how some players, because they get on base a little more, strike out a little less, steal a base, hit for doubles, and, you know, basically not striking out and things like that. Some of the power hitters who lead the league in home runs, well, they also lead the league in strikeouts because they're kind of up there swinging, taking big cuts. They're a little more all or nothing than some of the other players on your team. And it's just interesting to see, you know, how the points end up going at the end of the week. But the Maurice Wiggs had a big comeback with 2 days left to go. I think we're down 100 runs or 100 points or whatever. And somehow, late Sunday night, I take a look at the total, and Maurice Wiggs was coming back. So I was very happy to get our first win of the season. And heading into this weekend, you know, there has been a couple of moves I've had to make due to injuries. But Maurice Wiggs heading into this weekend with a lead over our opponent. We're at 171.10, and my opponent is at 92.2. So as long as the players continue to at least do their job, if you will, basically playing, you know, the numbers even out during the season. Someone who hits 300 will end up hitting 300 over the course of the year. They might hit 500 really red hot for a week or two, and then they might hit 100 more or less for a week or two. There are many ebbs and flows, and it's kind of upon the manager to sit there and go, well, maybe my backup third baseman is doing better than the guy I would normally start, who maybe I paid for more in the auction, but is, you know, a little cold this week. So you got to kind of pay attention to the current status of your players. Are they on a hot streak? Are they on a cold streak? I picked up a player on the Yankees, Osvaldo Cabrera. He was playing really hot. He qualifies at a couple outfield positions, left field, center field, also all infield positions with the exception of first base, but would qualify as a middle infielder and a corner infielder. And he's been ice cold after a red hot first couple games. So one thing I've learned is, you know, there is a little bit of pride when you put together a team and they're doing well. You know, you probably turn down more trade requests than you accept. And I tend to stick with players that I've, you know, drafted or signed in an auction league maybe a little longer, just because, again, I know that the numbers generally average out over the course long time of a baseball season. But there's always going to be a couple members on the roster that I've realized you kind of got to just stay fluid and keep a revolving door, mainly because of injuries, ineffectiveness, or sometimes there might be a player just playing so good, even if you have them for that 2 week hot streak, they can carry you to a, you know, couple good victories during that time, and they don't necessarily have to be there for the full season. That's where, example, Osvaldo Cabrera, I got just the tail end of the hot streak, and I've enjoyed much of the cold streak, so he might be someone who I might be changing out soon if things don't change for him, and I might be, you know, making a move with him if he continues to be on a cold and effective streak. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. We'll be right back.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
All right, back for our final segment today on Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. And as I mentioned, the NBA playoffs will be starting in a couple days by this time next week. Could be a team already eliminated or on the brink of it already. The NBA playoffs a couple years ago, can't remember if it was before the bubble season during COVID and everyone was in one of them big resorts in Florida or before that, but it's been around for a couple years now, and that is the play-in game into the playoffs. And there's actually two play-in games in each conference, the Eastern and the Western. And that basically takes number 7 through number 10 seeded teams based on wins and losses. And they have a, I think it's a single elimination game between them. To get into the playoffs. Number 7 plays number 10. Number 8 plays number 9. Now, currently, all the teams are set for either play-in game or seated above number 6, where they get the luxury of not dealing with the play-in game. But once 7 through 10 seeds eliminate two of those teams, then it's reseeded 1 through 8. And then on to the potential 4 rounds of playoffs to get to and through to hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy, the NBA's trophy. I've been watching the league this year. There's been a lot of different interesting things happening in scheduling, and that's one of the reasons I think my fantasy team just had stubbed their toe a bit in the playoffs, just the way the schedule worked out or didn't work out. I didn't have a lot of my players on teams that were playing early in the week, and then the ones that, you know, ended up playing in the earlier days, it didn't perform up to their standards, and I didn't have enough playing. Had replaced guys with injuries, and then on some of the other days, you know, I had to decide on starting or sitting. So I had more than a full roster, but again, kind of a almost empty roster, skeleton roster on other days of the week. So that's something next year I'm going to have to pay attention to a little bit more. And, you know, it's kind of a thing where I like to, I don't like to have a lot of my players on the same team. Usually no more than 2 or 3. That's kind of high, and generally if I'm getting a third player on a team, it's probably to replace an injured guy, and he might be someone on that same team who's basically a bench player who does okay and steps up and gets the minutes in the absence of the injured player. So next year I'll have to pick up a schedule ahead of time and look and see what teams, you know, play a little more on different days, or if there's a discrepancy. And then when it comes to drafting, signing, and picking up free agents, kind of put a priority on, you know, not overloading one team or another and having it spread out so that I can always have a player kind of in the current night's roster. But overall, I'm not going to beat myself up. I think my team did pretty well. Both my teams did well, finishing in third and maybe fourth place for the season. NBA playoffs, again, all the teams are in, just a matter of jockeying for seeding position. In the East, if you've been watching, you know Boston has been red hot. I would be shocked if Boston does not win the championship this year. They're that good. They're 62-18. They're 13 games ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers, who They ironically got blown out by the other night, but again, Boston hasn't had much to play for a while. Now, sometimes this can be scary, and I've talked about this before, when the red-hot team that's maybe down there at 6 or 7 struggling to get in and avoid the play-in game, they might come in a little more hot. In that case, that would be the Philadelphia 76ers, who are at number 7. They're, unless they overtake Indiana and avoid the play-in, they are more than likely going to have to play the probably Atlanta Hawks. Now, they can handle the Hawks, but Philadelphia, they just got back Joel Embiid, MVP of years gone by, and certainly a guy who's a difference maker for the Philadelphia 76ers. So if they end up in that number 8 seed and have to play Boston in the first round, that could be a dangerous matchup for the Celtics, who are at this moment kind of coasting. They lost 2 in a row for like the 5th time this season only, but Philadelphia could be coming in red hot. So again, that sometimes things like that happen. But Boston, Milwaukee, the New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers are your top 4 seeds, followed by Orlando Magic and Indianapolis Pacers. Then 7 through 8 is Philadelphia with the aforementioned Joel Embiid. Miami, a dangerous team. Then Chicago and Atlanta, who I am kind of predicting those two teams are not going to survive the play-in round. Just my speculation. And the playoffs will begin next Tuesday with the play-in rounds. In the NBA's Western Conference, Denver, the defending champions, currently have the number 1 seed, although this weekend Oklahoma City or the Minnesota Timberwolves could possibly overtake them. So there's still some jockeying for positions for top seed and home field advantage there. The number 4 LA Clippers, who at times have been the hottest team in the league this year, they, at one point they went 25-5 in the early part of 2024, followed by Dallas and the New Orleans Pelicans, who have come on strong in the second half of the season. And now with the teams that will be in the play-in game, now Phoenix has a chance of overtaking and getting number 6 over the Pelicans, but the Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors, and the Los Angeles Lakers make up the 7 through 10. So it looks like at this moment, Phoenix could be New Orleans, but probably Phoenix will face the Lakers and Sacramento and Golden State for a nice little Northern California rivalry. And you take in the fact that the Oakland baseball teams leaving Oakland and buddying up in Sacramento could make for an interesting energy with the fans, especially if that game is in Golden State. But you're going to lose either the Suns, the Kings, the Warriors, or the Lakers in the NBA Western Conference in the play-in round. So a couple of those teams will be going by. And then, you know, the 1 through 7 or 8 seed, they're all within 10 games in the West compared to Boston as a 13-game lead in the Eastern Conference. So the competition in the Western Conference definitely much tighter, and that's going to be a pretty intense Western Conference Finals. They might end up all going 7 games and sort of punishing each other to get to the final, and Boston might coast in the East, so stranger things have happened. But looking forward to the NBA second season about to start, and kind of looking forward to just focusing on a couple baseball teams fantasy-wise, as fantasy basketball is literally over after this weekend. One team already done, and team number 2 finalized this weekend. At that point, the NFL draft will hit really soon, and I'll start a little bit of speculation into fantasy football, which will be coming up drafting in August. We're all set. We're wrapping up. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. You can catch it every week, 11 a.m. Pacific time, and replay on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific time, also on demand here at HealthyLife.net Radio. We'll talk with you next Friday.